Yeah, okay. So, Nisivakas is which over here? Let me see. Nisivakas is Resh Lamed Vav. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Sefer Mishlei. It says, Erech HaPayim Rav Tvuna Uksar Ruach Meir Mivelas. That somebody who has patience, has much seichel, Uktzar Ruach, and somebody who's impatient, is Meir Mivelas. Now, means he picks up Ivelus' stupidity. More or less, there's an association over here between Kas and Chachma inversely. Now, first thing just to bear in mind, the opposite of Kas is called Erech HaPayim. It's interesting enough to note that the Midah of Kas and so on is associated with the Midah of Erech HaPayim, Charoin Af, the things that seem to be Shayach to Kas for some reason are all about breath, short breath, long breath, and so on. But more over here, Mishlei, and Chazal, you find an association of Kas with different, with Seichel, and with stupidity and Seichel, which is different. Most Midas are seen as a notch low. A person can be kind-hearted and generous, or not generous and kind-hearted, and those are Midos. Kas is a midah that is associated with Seichel, and many, many psukim keep bringing a kesher in both directions. A person whose kas is Meir Mivelas, and Ivelas is Koes, and so on. V'zeh shomach k'masham ha'shtom sev gelas, v'kas b'chei k'silim yanuach. So kas of all midos is probably closest to being associated with the quality of the das of the person. So in a certain sense, kas is a midah that's very central to that bridge between seichel and midos and so on. So he says, why? Mipnei ka kas hu hispa'alus ha'adam. V'chol hispa'alus hu legeshem shehu mispoel. Lefikach oma v'kas b'chei k'silim yanuach shak'sil hu rochek min ha'sichli. The Maral says here a yesoid that let's see if we can sort of give it the flesh it needs. When a person has, for instance, when you ask somebody directions how to get someplace, so you get a person tells you once, twice, third time, at around the fourth or fifth time, even the most patient person will lose it. He's going to say, you know what? Why don't you just take a bus? If you can't get the direction straight, take a bus, because you just, you know, something seems to be wrong with you. If you have a GPS, one of the annoying features about a GPS is that it never loses patience. Recalculate, 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 and, you know, and it doesn't lose its patience. The reason is because there's no it. All it is a program to tell you where it is, and there's no self, there's no it. In a person, when our senses take in all sorts of feedback, all sorts of input from the world around us, if we were not physical, if we were kuloi seichel, then nothing would be affected by it. So I now categorize you as X, as Y, as Z. There would not be any. It would not create an effect in the machine. But when a person is a Baal, but a person has a little bit self. There's more than just my emotion. My senses don't just feed the seichel; they feed a certain person, and that person reacts, and that's where kas comes from. That's called hispalos. Hispalos means to have become affected by. So he says, v'chol hispalos hu legeshem shum ispoil. Hispalos is a property of something megushim. Olefikach Oma Vikas Bechei Ksilim Yanuach Shaksil Hu Rochek Min Asichli. And that's why it says Kas rests in the chayk, in the lap of fools, because a ksil is someone who's not sichli. In other words, when we talk about being sichli or not sichli, we're talking about what is the you over there. So if a person is completely sichli, he's not all affected. So for instance, let's take example. Let's say a person works in a ward with Alzheimer patients, and they're difficult. But the person himself doesn't take it personal. He knows that these people are just not shaykh, and you know, he sort of deals with, can deal with it kind of objectively. The part that becomes mispoil is the mitzias of the person, and the person is at that point is not a sichli. It doesn't mean it's bad. A person does, the Rambam says, being apathetic in itself is not a good midah. People that don't have any hispalus are not shlemistic people in any sense of the word. There's a woman in America, quite famous by now. She is an autistic person who's a professor of agriculture. Her name is Gardner, I think, Gardner. And somebody spent a few days with her, interviewing with her, talking with her, and so on. And this person is a neurologist, the book is called like an Anthropologist on Mars, I think. And it's fascinating. What emerges, this woman's personality, is many very fascinating parts to it, but she has trouble with words that imply some sort of emotion. A friend, they were driving back, she drove back to the airport, and they passed by the Rocky Mountains, and it was stunning, and he said, "I am in awe." She said, "You know, I've heard that word used, I've looked it up. I understand when you say beautiful, I understand when you say tall, I understand those terms, I don't quite get what they mean by awe." In other words, that the person be affected in any way. Like if a person would read geologist material, this mountain is this many feet high, and it has one side, and this is slanted this way and the other way. There's no reaction from the person because it's not affecting anything in the person. She had that same problem with emotions. She's a very good person, did the right things and helpful, but the emotional part was just not there. The midah of hispalus is to be affected. In as much as a person is affected, he's not a sichli. So obviously, person who's never affected, if you can't be upset with something ever, you can't be happy with anything ever. So it's not a milo. We'd rather not be married to a robot, even though robots are imagine a GPS. That they could make a whole robot like a GPS. It also would not be a great shidduch because there is no reaction, so there's no tefis in the person. But in terms of the sichli, in as much as a person loses it, he's not a sichli. Mishu bal erech apayim v'koshelichos, a person that kas is not an easy reaction. In other words, the mind first has to work through whether or not this is something that I need to take to heart and need to react. It's something that the seichel should dictate the midas to me. I should have a certain, it's not that the other person got me angry. When something gets you angry, there's a certain bypass of the seichel. And, you know, I can jab you straight in the point and you react like a reflex almost without any type of seichel, going through seichel. I had an acquaintance, two chaver. One of them was an extraordinary self-controlled, proper, diplomatic person with, you know, that was his thing. It was an effort. In other words, that's why he was very, very in control of himself and always on guard and diplomatic. The other one was a wise guy, very sharp, very insightful people, younger. And I once heard him, he had a conversation with my friend, the diplomat and the control person. And it's amazing. It's like somebody's wearing a suit of armor totally, except for one or two chinks. He jabbed at a sore point, one of the very, very few sore points that he couldn't gotten through on, and the person exploded. And it was amazing to me how, I mean, there was an element of a lot of insight on the person where this person doesn't have his guard down. But a person, in as much as he doesn't process it through seichel, having your guard is good, but it's not what he means over here. But that a person say, okay, these are the events that happened. Let me think about it. What should the reaction be? What's a helpful reaction? Where do I need to express my emotions? So that's all Erech HaPayim. There's a long neshima here of it going through another mahalach. V'amak k'tzar ruach me'er mivelas pirish. Ki mishu k'tzar ruach. So he learns, not clear in the Mefarshim what mafrish ivelus means. In other words, which direction we're talking about. But it means, it says, he's plucking out foolishness. So anytime the person is memayalichos, that in effect is ivelus. Now, I wanted to add another point here. The word ivelus is a word that comes from evil, aleph of lam. It's the same word, in very, very often used in Mishlei. And the Mendel Mishklov in one of his horas says, he explains that the word evil is a fool. We translate it as a fool, but it's a special type of fool. It's someone who is very, very quick to... He's hasty in making decisions. I was once thinking by... In the Shira, it says, Ne'ermu mayim, meaning the waters... accumulated. They were the Pashto Pshat is from Lashon Orma, which means Arema, which means amount. That was the waters piled up. That's the Pashto Lashon. The Targum says is Chakma Maya. The waters became smart. Now the question is, what does Kishon have to do with the waters piling up? And I was thinking along those lines that. There's wisdom. Derech haChachma is to see larger and larger swaths of events. A fool is someone who rushes to judgment, means his scope of events is one thing. So-and-so said this. 1 second. Take a long look at it. Look at it in context. Look at it in broader context. That is a type of... So Nermu, any time water is hasty, pachas kamayim. So water is in the bria kind of like the avil itself. It never stands in one place. It's always running. It's never so. There cannot be. You can't pile up. Even in sort of dry chachma, logical chachma, a dry chachma requires the more data you see. The more data you include in your equation, the more general and emes your equation is, and the less specific it is to a specific inyan. The seeing a broad swath of events allows you to make emeses that are much deeper. They describe a broader range of things, and therefore the common denominator is a much stronger common denominator. Whereas whenever you just see a instant one instant shot, what you see is true very, very specifically and doesn't reflect any broader emes and so on. So the Gidrei Chachma requires taking a bigger scope of events. Uvemakam acha amat toiv erech hapaim. It's very interesting. The word. Let's finish up, and then we'll get to it. Uvemakam acha amat toiv erech hapaim migibor umoichel beruchoi miloiked ear. Somebody who is an erech hapaim is better than a gibor, and a moichel beruchoi is better look in the ear. Kara mishu erech hapaim gibor. Why is he called strong?
In other
words, when we say something is strong, we don't mean, if you think about it, I say this is a very, very strong hammer. It can shatter rocks. Well, the reason why the hammer can shatter the rocks is because it doesn't shatter, it does not get shattered. So when you have two things coming up against each other, the one who is less affected by the other is the stronger. If I'm wrestling with somebody, if his moves do not affect me, affect me less than my moves affect him, I am the stronger. So strength lies in not being easily pushed, moved in both a physical sense, that's a gibor, and certainly in the emotional sense, the Erech HaPayim is called a gibor because he's not Mekabes Pilus, he's unaffected. There's a system for rating diamonds, and gems, I should say, Bisbeta said. I think it's called NICE. I don't remember maybe that's a number, I forgot. But what it is, basically, all it is you scratch one rock against the other one. The one that got scratched is softer than the one who did the scratching. And the diamonds are the hardest, and you can sort of tell a gem. This is one of the tests that you can tell where it is, what it is, by how much it is affected by the other. Umisha Moshel Vekovish Berucho Shalayetze Hu Yoise Godlem Eloikid Ir, Shekovis Eshair, Ki Ha'ir Hu Dove Gashmi. Avazer Shekovis Rucho.
So
the ability for a person to restrain an emotion is much, much stronger than it requires a lot more strength than the courage to capture a city. Now, in battle, one of the essential criteria of who's going to win is whoever is less affected. In other words, I don't mind getting a beating, but I need to win. When a person is kovish rucho, it's much tougher because it's himself that wants to sort of come out, and holding it in is a much stronger feat. This midah is called erech hapayim. It's the same as a kashbar's midah. So let's get a few things out from here. First thing is, kas is really a product. Kas, the midah of kas falls into a broader framework called erech hapayim and ktzar hapayim. That's really the fullness of the midah. It has to do with the ktzar ruach. It has to do with a midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's called Erech HaPayim. Now, if we ask ourselves, what is the midah of Kas in terms of how does a person understand himself as the Kois or not Kois? When we speak about chesed, we say be nice to the person, be kind to the person, think that the person is hurt, whatever it is. How does one deher kas in terms of its scope and what it is and so on? So the understanding of it is two nekudas that the Maral is sort of bringing out. First of all, the amount of physical self that you are is what invites kas. Let's take an example. When a person is teaching a classroom, that's usually the best place where to work on Kass, or if you need to work on Kass, maybe it's the best place not to be. So the person is working on Kass. The person is in a classroom. Sorry. Now there are two parts himself. The teacher part is kulei sichli. In other words, teaching is how and what shall I say to this person to A, he should understand the material, B, he should act the way I think is appropriate, and everything goes into a classroom. That part we would call the pedagogue shabbat, we call sichli. Every person teaching is also a human being, and he has a sense of self that can be fragile, that can be needy, that could be non-existent, or almost non-existent, let's put it that way. He has his own issues, his own moods, his own problems. That self, the Adam Shaboy, the person Shaboy, is a that will call for this, for the purpose of this. That's like the Gashmid. It's not the Sichli. It's the part of the person that needs something for its kiyum. Let's take an example so sort of reinforce the understanding. There's an experiment that they do in psychology classes that it goes something like this. They make an experiment in which everybody in the class is included on it except for one poor victim, one carbon. And then the next day, whatever it is, the carbon comes to the class. The teacher makes the following remark. We're going to learn about visual perception today, and I'm going to draw lines of different sizes, and I'm going to ask the olim which is longer and which is shorter. So he draws two lines on the blackboard. A is clearly longer than B, and you know, he puts the marks one off A, marks one off B, and he asks the first guy, tell me which is longer. So it's B. Second guy, B. And he goes through everybody until he gets to the victim. Now, this poor victim is looking at the line. His eyes tell him that A is longer. Every other person had said that B is longer. So now, what does he do? The vast majority of people pass Kirachiram Lahatois, and they do like everybody else did, and that's that, and they shut up, and you know, they say, yeah, and that, and Shalom Yisrael. What happened here? Did the person's thought process, now, most of people will not even, they're not going to have a conscious awareness of what's going through their minds. But really what's going through their mind is, I see it as this, in terms of seichel, what's the problem? Maybe my eyesight is different, maybe their eyesight is off. I mean, I see clearly A is longer. That's the seichel. But the person says, do I need to be a fool? Do I need to be an idiot? Do I need to, you know, why? You know, whatever says, whatever says, that's that. And, you know, I'm fine. Because the reaction of me being the queer guy, the odd guy out, is not pleasant. So I'll stick to the, you know, I'll stick to the tried and to the true. So the person Shaboy is mispoel, he's affected, and that didn't go through Seichel. Seichel would say, well, let's figure this out. I'm here. Everybody seems to see it differently. I see it. Is it a judgment call? No, I see it very clearly. And he asked me what I see. He's not building a building here. It's not as if the building is going to collapse or whatever it is. He just asked opinions, and I see it this way, and that's that. But that's not the way it goes. Part of hearing everybody say B is longer is telling him, don't be an idiot. So the chelek of being nispoil, meaning where there's a direct effect of what the person sees and hears to the guf shaboy, is a problem. Let's take an example where you see a mitzvah. Yes. I'll be dark, because we do it all the time. I'm not talking here as a big, you know, as a big tzaddik and so on, but it is, you know, it's so that's what I'm saying. If the person would say, The person can say, listen, if they were an engineer and he has to make a decision on something that the bridge can stand or fall, is one thing, but the person can say his opinion. I see it different than everybody else. I don't know. I see it very different than everybody else. But people tend to be a little bit apprehensive about it. I mean, there's the one guy who his role is to say it differently than everybody else. There'll be one guy that will say bedafke, even if they're right, he'll say bedafke faket. But al kaponim, there was a famous answer to Ragachava, that Ragachava Sameach once had an argument and they couldn't come to an agreement. So the Ragachava said, again, it's apocrypha, but it's a story anyway. It's a good story. So the Ragachava said, you know what? We'll ask a balabas. And since Das Torah is Hefer Das Balabayas, whatever he says, the opposite is right. So the Osmer agreed. They asked the Balabas, and he said, like the Ragachava, he agreed to the Ragachava. So the Ragachava said, I always knew that this person's Das is Hefer, but so Hefer, he's double looped around, that he's the opposite of the opposite. Like it's not because he's thinking straight, it's because he's so crooked that he's come around to the straight again. There'll be somebody that has that attitude, but Lemaisa, it's the person is some element of his spineless. There's a famous, I hate to digress, but I guess we'll digress. it's just a very, very good Maisa. I think I've said over from the Kitov has a book, Chassidim Anshei Maisa. It is one of the best books ever. It's in Hebrew. I think they translate in English. I wonder if they were able to retain any of the flavor in English. It's a masterful book of Chassidish Maises that have, I don't want to sound racist, but they have Litvish depth and seichel in the Chassidish Maises, and they're amazing. They're not an easy Hebrew. They're rich. And he has a Maisa about the initiation rites to the Pshischa Chabura. In Pshischa, they were very, very, very makbid on calling the shots right, and only emes, you owe nothing to anything but the truth. They were very iconoclastic type of movement, and it got them into trouble, a lot of people. People don't like it very much when you destroy their idols, so basically people did not like Pshischa, and Pshischa became Kotsk and Ger, and there's a certain element there of being mevatel things that seem to be puffed up and full of it, and so on and so forth. Bekitzer, one day, a young man in a town who was a big Ovid and a very erlich guy, a very serious guy, was invited by an old Pshischa Chassid who was in town to join him for a get-together with other Pshischa Chassidim. So they walked, I don't know, a few dozen kilometers to get to the place for Shabbos. They come there, and Friday night they have a very nice Suda and Tish together, like this and that. And they go sleep. Shabbos morning, he wakes up kind of late. It was late at night, he wakes up late. It's like close as my Krishna. Everybody else is snoring, literally snoring. It's getting later and later, and he's getting really edgy. It's my Krishna. Fine, like 3 minutes before it's my Krishna, people begin to wake up. Oh, they run to Tosidayim. They say Krishna very quickly. And then they say, no, we got to make Kiddush. So they said Kiddush, like before Davin. They said, everybody, the Olam is hungry, they'll have much geshmaka with Kiddush and this and that. They quickly set up a table with cakes and this and that and wine, and they say, we're mechabed our guest to make Kiddush. The kitza is in a quandary. On the one hand, he wants to be a Pshischa Chassid, and this vice versa is the Anhag of Pshischa Chassidim. On the other hand, he's never in his life made Kiddush for davening, not eaten a meal for davening. And he's like, Kwanji, he says, Rabbi Yisai, my minig is not to make, is to wait to have Kiddush. They start laughing at him, his minhag, aha, he's got minhagim. This 19-year-old, this and that, has a set of minhagim, Rabbi Yisai. He's going to put out a minhagim safe with his minhagim. And, they really, really let him have it. Kids, so he picks up the kois, and he says, Vishamru. And as he's ready to get it, make the bracha, someone knocks the kais out of his hand, and he says, I don't get it. There's no Shulchan Aruch? There's no halacha? A few long chassidim with long white beards make fun of you, and that's it? Where are you? Where are you coming from? And they he found out that they had gotten up at Netz, they had davened, they were actually going to go eat now, and this was sort of an initiation, right, that even if the whole world tells you one thing, if the Emes is on your side, you don't care much about the whole world. There's a similar story, but in Geras sort of sees itself as the Mamshech of it. So the Gerer Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, was the one who really had that approach. Gerer Rebbe Yisrael was a fascinating personality. He built Gerer because he was an unusual person. I don't have time to go through, but he was an awesome person. And his sister, he had a sister who had married to Rebbe Jemai Levine. Her name was Matel, and she was every bit as tough and as strong and as sharp as he was. She was fair competition. So she was like a 90-year-old lady, and the Rebbe sent, the Beis Yisrael sent a bacher with Shalach Manis to her on Purim. So the bacher brings the Shalach Manis, knocks on the door, and when she opens the door, he's standing facing sideways, not Chalil V'chas to look at this woman, and gives her Shalach Manis, says, the Rebbe sent. So she says to him, "You idiot! I mean, you think I'm going to be machshel you? I'm 90-year-old half dead lady." What? You know, and she, the kids, a guy turns red and he faces her and looks at her. She says, "I think I'm going to have a word with my brother." An old lady screams at him and he drops all of his chassidus in the garbage and that's it. And he's lost. He said, "I wonder what kind of chassidim they're producing these days." But I'll go upon him. The midah of his spalus means that I've been affected by that, and that's the amount of chaymer that's involved in my core personality, as opposed to seichel being absorbing everything and then making a decision. What should I do? It's like the marshal. A person will react. A person reflexes work in a certain way, and then when he's under fire, X happens or Y happens. And you train, and for very important jobs, you need people who can think about things and not in any way be affected by just, you know, but reflexes. The more that can work through the mayak is a mile in certain areas. That's one half of the nekuda. The second half, and this we don't have much time now, the second half is what he calls erech hapayim versus ktsara af. It is something which a person, the measure of scope, since a breath is the unit of life, so Erech HaPayim means it's the units are much bigger, and the scope that I need to look at is greater than the things of shorts of than a ktsar af. So a ktsar av. So, for instance, if a person has a child, that's not an easy child. So, I measure it by certain units. A very, very short-tempered person will react. You did this. It's bad. It's wrong. Boom. A person who has a much longer span says, "Well, let's look at it in terms of, let's give him a week for it. Let's give him a month for it. Let's see the big picture." That's why, in a certain sense, that's why zikna is considered to be so chashiv in terms of sichlius in the Torah, because a zokin is b'derech klal a person's scope of events is closely, it has a big kesher with his age as well. In other words, if I've lived longer, I tend to see things through a broader broader picture. That's the you know, for a 10-year-old, a day is like a full lifetime. For an 80-year-old person, a decade is a period of time. It's not, you know, it's not an entire lifetime. So the seichel and the das of skenim tends to revolve around also. So the second Indian in caste that's significant is this Indian of Erech HaPayim and so on. My mother-in-law used to tell us that my father-in-law once, he told her when they first got married, when they were young and just got married, he said, "You only should get angry at things that in a year from now you would also be upset at." In other words, if a year after the event happened, your reaction would still be strong. That means it's bad, bad, and the kas is justified. If it's something that in a week from now you say, "What the heck?" That doesn't. Then the pshat is it's ktsara af in that sense to react to it. Okay, any questions? In tefisa, correct. It's a word and perspective. How am I tefis events? How do I? An impatient person is tefis events in very, very short bits of time. And that is a distortion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's erech, when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachim under Russia, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mevata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not sanction bad. But the bad person is defined not in the space of a week or a month or a year. It HaKadosh Baruch Hu's erech hapayim. His demeanor that he uses to judge us is a longer span of breath. Is there mokum for kas what? There is. The Rambam says so mefurish, and I think that, in other words, kas, two things. Kas can describe itself in, a person needs to give feedback to the person around him. If somebody did something mean to an older person, or to a younger person, whatever it is, if a child, let's say. So I need to react in a way where the child understands it's bad. But it's bad because it's bad, and not because I'm sick and tired of people telling me what kind of monster of children I have. I need to be able to react, like the Rambam says, to pretend. What it means, what anything else is, I need to decide this calls for reaction, and where I can... that's severe. Especially a child learns from reaction of the person. If let's say you say something to a person that's you're kidding, but the person does not like that, whatever it is, it bothers him. So if he doesn't react strongly, I don't get the message. The person says, "I'm very bothered by it. And it really hurts me, and I'm upset." It sends a message. It has to be serious. The big problem is getting your own middles out of the way. In other words, when you blow up at a kid that you're teaching, the kid might justifiably need a strong feedback that this is not good, but the child also picks up the fact that part of it is because you're upset and frustrated, which gives him a way out in a certain sense. And it's very tough. Listen, we're human, but in my mind, I had a Rebbe, Reb Zadel Epstein, who to me was, I had him from 11th and 12th grade, and he also helped me make the decision back home to Eretz Yisrael. I had him in camp. He's somebody to me, Adayom, is a paradigm of Shlemus, and in everything, in wisdom, understanding people, total control of his midas, Kedusha and personal Kedusha and Tara, but understanding every part of the world from the dirtiest to the most noble part, understanding it. And he was an amazing person. He passed away 3-4 years ago. And he... And one of his things would be sometimes, like in Shir, he might say something, you know, if I were the type of person who would get angry, what would I say? I would say this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. But I'm just not the type of person who gets angry, so I don't say these things. And it was a beautiful, like, he never lost himself. He didn't, you know, he never was only, but he could say the things that needed to be said in an appropriately serious way. And where at the end of it, the person felt that, you know, he didn't write me off. I'm still okay. And it, you know, it took an immense amount of, when you're teaching in an unruly class and so on, and you have your things, your own self is at stake, not Pashit. So there is a mokum kas, but kas in the sense where I say, if I tell somebody, listen, I'm upset at these things you say, and I think for the next foreseeable future, I'd rather not meet you. It's a very powerful statement. You can also jump and scream and yell and bang at the table. But what comes out in that banging and jumping and yelling is that that the person's got an issue. I've damaged his self-esteem. You know, everyone knows if you have a worker who threatens to leave it means he's not leaving, because then he'd be threatening. He's more saying, I need you to comfort me, and because you're not treating me well. But if a person is very calm and saying, you know, I'm weighing the options, and I think I'm beginning to think this is a better option, that person would probably do it. It's kas displays a weakness, but the kas that's appropriate is a strong. You know, if you tell a person, it made me upset, and I really would like to sort of to put our friendship on hold for a while. It's bothered me too much. If the friendship is real, if the person really cares to be a friend, it's a very, very powerful statement. If you tell a child in a straight voice and tell them, listen, you know, I'm beginning to think that this expectation is unrealistic. You just can't make this. And if it's something the child wants to make, it's very strong. That's cast at its appropriate mode. Okay. Good Shabbos.
Cool. Till bye.